Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a really pivotal case in Florida local government law, City of Coconut Creek v. Broward County Board. The core question we're digging into is about the balance of power in land use planning. You know, when a city and a county disagree, especially in Florida, who ultimately has the say?
Right.
We've pulled together the co-documents and some expert analyses to really unpack the crucial legal concepts and what this all means for understanding local authority.
Absolutely. And for you law students out there, especially if you're diving into local government, land use, or maybe Florida constitutional law, this case is gold.
Yeah.
It cuts right to the heart of municipal home rule powers and how they interact, sometimes clash with county authority.
Right.
And it's not just abstract legal theory, you know. The principles in this case really shape the very communities we live in, determining how they grow and develop.
Okay, so let's get right to the central point of contention then. At its core, this case revolved around Broward County's requirement that even after a city like Coconut Creek had approved a plat, and just to clarify for everyone, a plat is essentially a map showing how a larger piece of land will be divided into smaller lots for development.
Right, the subdivision map.
Exactly. The county also needed to give its final approval.
That's right. Broward County had this ordinance on the books, Section 5198 of Ordinance 8116, which mandated this extra layer of county sign-off for any new subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine you're one of the 20 municipalities in Broward County, including Coconut Creek. You've gone through your local approval process, and the county says, hold on, we need to take a look too.
Yeah.
Understandably, these cities felt like this was, well, stepping on their toes, infringing on their ability to control development within their own borders.
And it's important to understand what the cities weren't arguing, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't that the county had no right to even look at these plats.
No, no.
They acknowledged the county's role in conducting technical reviews, making sure the engineering was sound, drainage was adequate, roads were up to code, that kind of thing.
The basic nuts and bolts.
Right. But their real objection was to this county wielding what they saw as a substantive veto power. They didn't want the county to be able to essentially overrule their decisions based on broader planning considerations after the city had already given the green light.
That's a really key nuance to grasp. The municipalities weren't disputing the need for basic technical compliance.
Okay.
Their concern was about the county weighing in on the actual substance of the development, its overall impact on things like traffic, school capacity, environmental resources, and, you know, the comprehensive land use plan for the entire county.
Right.
They felt that once they, at the local level, had determined a project fit within their own planning framework, the county shouldn't be able to just say no for potentially broader regional reasons.
So with that conflict as the backdrop, what were the main legal questions the court had to sort through?
Well, the primary legal hurdle was whether Broward County's land development code, specifically this requirement for county plat approval, overstepped the boundaries of municipal home rule powers as defined under Florida law.
Mm.
This really gets to the heart of the division of power between cities and counties in the state.
And of course, the county must have had its own strong legal arguments for why this ordinance was legitimate. What was their basis for claiming this authority?
Absolutely. The second crucial legal issue was whether the county had a valid legal foundation for these plat approval requirements, both under its own charter, which is like the county's constitution, right, outlining its powers and responsibilities, and under the relevant state laws. They likely argued that their charter empowered them to address issues that have countywide impact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to argue that land use decisions in one municipality don't have the potential to affect the entire county.
Yeah.
Think about those cross-jurisdictional impacts you mentioned earlier.
Right, because a large development in one city can definitely strain infrastructure, increase traffic, and impact environmental resources across the entire county.
Yeah.
It's not always neatly contained within city limits.
Exactly. And that leads us to the third core legal question. How do these potentially overlapping land use regulations at the city and county levels legally interact? When you have both a municipal development code and a county development code, what happens when they seem to conflict on a specific project? Is there a clear hierarchy, or are they supposed to somehow work in tandem?
These are the kinds of thorny questions that really make you delve into the intricacies of local government law. So let's get to the meat of the matter. How did the court actually reason its way through these issues? What were the key pillars of their analysis?
The court's decision really turned on the concept of the county's Paramount Land Use Authority.
The Paramount. Okay.
Yeah, they heavily emphasize that the Florida Constitution, specifically Article 8, Section 1G, explicitly grants this significant level of authority to charter counties like Broward. This constitutional provision essentially sets the stage, establishing that when it comes to broader land use planning, the county's authority can, under certain circumstances, take precedence over that of the municipalities within its borders.
Paramount. That's a really strong word in a legal context.
Yeah.
So the court essentially viewed the county's role in land use planning as inherently more significant, at least when considering the bigger picture.
In specific areas, particularly those with regional implications, yes. The court also gave significant weight to Florida's Growth Management Act.
Right, the GMA.
Exactly. This state law creates a framework for comprehensive planning at the state, regional, and local levels. What's fascinating here is how the court recognized the county's vital role in ensuring that individual municipal land use decisions align with these state-mandated comprehensive plans and don't undermine broader regional goals for things like infrastructure, environmental protection, and economic development. It suggests that the state has an interest in a degree of consistency beyond what individual municipalities might prioritize.
That makes perfect sense. You can easily see how a patchwork of completely independent development decisions by various cities within a county could really frustrate any attempt at coherent regional planning.
Precisely. Now, the court also addressed the relationship between county and municipal ordinances, stating that they are generally intended to be supplemental. They should, in theory, work together.
Yeah.
However, and this is a critical point, the Broward County Charter itself had a provision stipulating that in cases of conflict between a county ordinance and a municipal ordinance, the county ordinance would ultimately prevail.
Okay.
So the court looked directly to the foundational document of Broward County's governance to resolve this potential conflict. It wasn't just relying on some general principle of law. The county's own charter tipped the scales.
So the county charter essentially acted as the ultimate tiebreaker in these disputes. That's a really powerful aspect of being a charter county, it seems.
Exactly. Now, the municipalities in this case leaned heavily on the precedent set in Broward County v. Narco Realty, Inc., a previous case where the court had characterized plat approval as more of a ministerial act.
Right.
Basically just checking if all the technical boxes were ticked correctly.
Okay, so how did the court in Coconut Creek differentiate itself from that earlier ruling? This is where a key distinction emerges.
Yeah, this is crucial.
This is a crucial point of clarification.
Yeah.
The court in Coconut Creek carefully explained that the Narco case was primarily concerned with the technical aspects of plat approval, things like the accuracy of surveys, adherence to specific engineering standards, and whether the developer had provided all the required documentation.
Right.
It was essentially about whether the application was complete and technically sound.
Right. It was a matter of meeting objective, predefined criteria.
Hey, sure.
Like a checklist.
Exactly. But in the Coconut Creek case, the court emphasized that the county's review went significantly beyond these mere technicalities.
Mm-hmm.
It involved a substantive review of whether the proposed plat and the resulting development were actually in compliance with the overarching county-wide land use plan.
Okay.
This included considering broader policy implications, such as potential environmental impacts, traffic congestion, the adequacy of public facilities, and the overall fit with the county's vision for growth.
And this is where that quote from the court really encapsulates their reasoning. In our view, the challenge provisions deal not merely with the technical requirements for plats, but with the requirements for plat approval and all of its attendant development consequences. They were clearly stating that the county's review was about the bigger picture, about the broader impacts of the development, not just the nitty-gritty details of the plat document itself.
Okay.
This more substantive level of review, the court concluded, justified the county having a greater degree of discretionary authority.
That distinction between technical ministerial review and a more substantive discretionary review is really the crux of the matter, isn't it?
It really is.
It clarifies why the county's role was deemed more significant in the Coconut Creek context.
Precisely. And because of that substantive nature, the court felt it fell more squarely within the county's legitimate purview, especially given its constitutionally granted paramount authority, its charter provisions, and its responsibilities under the state's Growth Management Act to ensure coordinated regional planning.
Okay, so pulling back for a moment, what are the really key takeaways for our listeners from this deep dive into the city of Coconut Creek? What are the essential principles to remember?
There are several critical insights here. First, it's paramount to use the court's word to understand that in Florida, charter counties wield significant authority in land use planning.
Right.
And this authority can indeed supersede municipal ordinances, especially when addressing issues that have implications beyond a single city's borders. So, while municipal home rule is a cornerstone of local governance, it's not absolute. It operates within the framework of the broader authority granted to charter counties under the state constitution. What this really signals to you is that if you're looking at development in a charter county, the buck doesn't ultimately stop at the city council.
Yeah.
There is a layer of oversight with a broader regional lens that can ultimately override local decisions.
That's a fundamental point that anyone involved in land use in Florida needs to internalize. Home rule provides significant local control, but it exists within a hierarchical structure where charter counties have a defined upper hand in certain areas.
Exactly. Second, this case vividly illustrates the legal distinction between ministerial and discretionary government actions in the realm of land use regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing whether a governmental decision is simply about verifying compliance with objective criteria or involves more subjective, policy-based judgment carries significant legal weight. It impacts the level of deference courts will give to those decisions.
Right.
Interestingly, the definition of technical itself can sometimes be a point of contention. What one party sees as purely technical, another might argue has substantive implications.
And the comparison with Narco Realty really drives that point home. On the surface, plat approval might seem like a uniform process, but the scope and nature of the review can fundamentally alter the legal landscape.
Absolutely. Third, anyone studying local government law in Florida must appreciate the crucial role of a county's specific charter when analyzing these kinds of intergovernmental conflicts.
Definitely.
Broward's charter county status and the explicit language within its charter regarding the supremacy of county ordinances were pivotal to the court's reasoning in Coconut Creek.
Okay.
Not all counties in Florida are charter counties, and those that aren't may have a different balance of power with their municipalities. So you can't apply a one-size-fits-all rule. You really have to delve into the specific governing documents of the county in question.
So it's not enough to just understand general principles of home rule. You have to look at the specific constitutional and charter provisions that apply in each situation. Makes sense.
Correct. And finally, the Coconut Creek case underscores the significant influence of the Growth Management Act.
Right.
It reflects a clear state policy favoring coordinated land use planning. And the court's decision definitely took that policy objective into serious consideration when ultimately siding with the county.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests that the state has a vested interest in ensuring that local development decisions contribute to broader regional and statewide planning goals. So it's about balancing local autonomy with the need for a more cohesive approach to growth.
So the state isn't just a passive observer. It has established a framework that encourages, and in some ways mandates, a degree of regional coordination in land use planning.
Precisely. It's a constant balancing act between allowing municipalities to govern their own development and ensuring that those decisions don't negatively impact the wider region or undermine statewide planning objectives.
Well, this has been an incredibly insightful deep dive into a really significant case. To bring it all together for our listeners, the City of Coconut Creek case provides a critical illustration of the hierarchical nature of local government authority in Florida, particularly in the realm of land use planning.
Mm-hmm.
Charter counties, as we've seen, often hold a stronger position when regional interests are at stake, reminding us that while municipal home rule is vital, it operates within a larger framework of county and state authority.
That's a perfect encapsulation. It really highlights the complexities and nuances of power dynamics in local governance and how those dynamics ultimately shape the development of our communities.
Absolutely. And on that note, here's a final thought for you to really chew on. Consider the inherent tension between the desire for localized control over community development and the undeniable need for broader regional coordination.
Yeah.
To effectively address complex challenges like urban sprawl, environmental protection, and infrastructure development. How might the principles established in this Coconut Creek case inform our understanding of contemporary land use debates, not just here in Florida, but perhaps even in other states grappling with similar issues of local versus regional authority?
That's a great question.
Think about the long-term implications for how our communities will grow and the appropriate roles for different levels of government in shaping the places we call home. It's definitely something worth further reflection. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.